Well, good morning, everybody. You know, the last time I was up here, Brother Jaywin came and he closed the service, and I think it was because I was wearing green. He called me Pastor Cucumber. Well, this morning I'm wearing red. Well, actually, he called me that because he said I was cool. Well, today I'm wearing red, and I think after today he'll call me Pastor Chili Pepper because it is hot up here. And I will be sweating. I apologize for that right now, okay? Well, if you're visiting us this morning, we want to say welcome to you. And if you came expecting to hear our dynamic senior pastor, Pastor Scott Chiroma, well, he took a vacation this week, actually went out to the other side of the island to do a wedding. And I'm glad we get to give him those breaks. So you're going to have to come back next week to see him, okay? Well, this morning, first thing I want to do is take the opportunity to say thank you to everybody. Thank you for the well wishes and the birthday wishes that I had this week. Thank you very much. And of course, you know, I'm not on social media, so it was on my wife and daughter's Facebook page, and that's the reason why I didn't answer you and say thank you then, but I'd like to say thank you now. Actually, I was really planning this year on not having my birthday, because I wanted to stay 25 for the rest of my life. Truthfully, I'm just a little bit older than that. But, you know, reflecting this week on my life, it's amazing, I think. It's actually a miracle that I'm still here today, 40-something years. After all the stupid things I did in college and all the crazy, dangerous things I've done in my lifetime, it's really a miracle. And no, laugh at me, because I know you guys feel the same way. You've done the things that sometimes not so smart, or natural things just happen where you would say that I really believe it's a miracle that I'm here today. You know, it was just this past Tuesday, in fact. Many of you know that I go fishing with Dad. Pastor Alex is a fisherman by trade. And I've been fishing with him for the last 3 years. And this past Tuesday, we caught this big ahi, 156 pounds. And all these years, I mean, okay, I'm 46 now. My brother Khalil, he's been leadering ahi. That means when the ahi comes close to the boat, the big ones, he's been actually leadering them and bringing them into the boat for us to gaff and catch. Dad has not trusted me until just this past year. 46 years. And I'm not offended. It's okay, because, you know, he's talking $750 on the line. I'm perfectly fine with that. But maybe because he don't like boss up his hands anymore, he's been letting me do them the last five or so big ones that we caught. Well, one of the things that he always tells me and Khalil when we're leadering that fish, he says, do not let the fish touch the boat. Now, all this time, I never know why. I thought maybe because the line will get too close to the boat and it'll cut. But, you know, I didn't think it was a real big deal. And this fish, we were fighting it for a while, so it came in kind of tired and was coming in real easy. And I thought, this is going to be an easy one. And I relaxed just a little bit too much. And on that last turn, he actually bumped into the corner of the boat. And then I found out why, because that fish went nuts. Went crazy, and I got to feel the power of a 156-pound yellowfin tuna. It was incredible, and it was a miracle. I still have no idea how I got that line out of my hand and never go swimming 360 feet deep with this fish. And that was a miracle, but there was a bigger miracle that happened, because I wasn't even as worried about going in with the fish as much as I was worried about what Dad was going to say. Since he's not here today, I'll let you know. Pastor Alex Pacheco and Captain Alex Pacheco, two different people. But a bigger miracle happened, because I wasn't swimming the 8 miles into shore. He said, I looked at Dad, and he actually smiled, and he said, that's why we don't let the fish touch the boat. That was a big, big, big miracle, I tell you. Well, what is a miracle? In the dictionary, it's defined as an event that appears to be contrary to the laws of nature and is regarded as an act of God. Let me sum that up in layman's terms. A miracle is something, anything, that God does. Now, they can be physical or spiritual. They can be spectacular, or they can be very commonplace. But whatever or however they present themselves, they're always awesome because they come from the heart and the mind of the awesome God. Now, with that in mind, no matter how big or how small they may seem, you don't want to miss any of them. Because even if you miss the tiniest thing that God is doing in your life, you've missed a miracle. Unfortunately, the truth is that we miss, quite possibly, hundreds of miracles a day. Why? Because we're prone to be looking only for the ones that are spectacular. And the only miracles that we often realize are the physical ones. Where a missing hand suddenly grows out. Where a person whose body is completely shut down suddenly becomes fully healed. Where a tree that's in our way will wither and uproot and jump into the ocean. Can God do these things? Absolutely. In fact, from time to time, we get to witness them right here in this church. So why doesn't he do them often? Some people would declare that it's because of a lack of faith on our part. And in some cases, that might be partially true. But the whole truth is that these kind of miracles don't last. And they don't last because that's not God's ultimate plan. You think about it. If God were to heal your body every time it began to shut down, his ultimate desire for your eternity will never be fulfilled. You'd never get to spend eternity with him. Listen to this. And this one's in your notes. Miracles have little to do with what we want and everything to do with what God wants. Miracles have little to do with what we want and everything to do with what God wants. And what he wants is that we would choose not to be so prone to chase after the signs and the wonders that are temporary, but to desire to be able to recognize the things that he's doing in our lives every single day, the things that impact eternity. And today I have the honor of discussing a miracle that we often see as so commonplace that we take it for granted, and more often than not, fail to recognize its miraculous potential. Yet, it has the power to impact not just our eternity, but everyone who we come in contact with. And I'm talking about the miracle of words. Now, I know that there are some here who are thinking, no way, how can mere words be a miracle? Well, let me show you. You know, every time you look at a tree or a mountain or the ocean, every time you perceive light, you have witnessed the miracle of words. Look at Genesis 1:3. And it says, and God said. Let me stop right there. God what? God said. Underline that, those two words. God said. And what did he say? He said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. You see, that, my friends, is the miracle of words, that God speaks and something happens. If you read through the bookmark with us, you've come to know that there are some times that God speaks some things that are not so great. For example, in Numbers 20, probably the saddest piece of scripture in the whole Bible for me. Why? Because God, in Numbers 20, God actually speaks Aaron's death. The point is that the power of God, that's the power of God's words. That when he speaks, whether good or bad, something will happen. Now, where this becomes very relevant for us is 24 verses later in Genesis 1:27, where it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. You know what that is saying? It's saying that because we are made in his likeness, to the same measure, there is power in our words. Power to bring forth joy or sadness, depending on where it comes from. Power to speak a miracle or a curse. Look at what's written in Proverbs 12. It says, anxious hearts are heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders. A word of encouragement does what? Does wonders. And look at what's after that. Wonders. It's an exclamation point. Not a question mark. Not a period. An exclamation point. If you are somebody who seeks after signs and wonders, this is a word for you. And you don't have to go to the ends of the earth. You don't have to go to every big tent revival that comes to Hilo. Save your money. And simply start speaking words of encouragement to everybody you meet. That's a chance for you to see as many wonders as you want every single day. And that's the power that words have, our words have. They can induce wonders or they can make the heart heavy. And every word can be a miracle if it is spoken through us by the heart of God. Now, with that kind of power, of course, comes a great responsibility, one that will be held accountable for. Here's the good news, that there's a surefire way in which we can check ourselves in this, where we can always be speaking through the heart of God. It's by simply stopping before we say anything and asking ourselves this question. The question is, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say? Remember now, a miracle is anything that God does, including what he says. So when we speak what Jesus would speak, we are actually performing a miracle. And this is why it's so important that we sit with him daily in our devotions, in his word, so that we will indeed know what he would say in any situation. Look at something that he did speak, John 10:10, where Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. What is this telling us? It tells us that if he speaks through us, it'll bring forth life. A miracle-producing kind of life, and not in a small amount, in abundance. This also tells us that when our words do not bring life, then they're not coming from Jesus. They're coming from somewhere else. In his great wisdom, King Solomon wrote it out like this. He said, words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or they're fruit. And don't miss his last two words. You choose. And that's what this message is all about. That we can be a part of this everyday, life-giving miracle of words, impacting as far as eternity. Or we can miss it completely. The choice is ours to make. So what I'm going to do this morning is to quickly go over four steps, four things we can choose to do to assure that our words come from Christ and make an impact in a miraculous way. And usually I go from point A to point B, but this morning I'm going to take you from point B to point A. I'm going to start with the end result and work backwards to the source. So bear with me. Starting at the end, number one, watch what you say. Watch what you say. Now, I don't know about you, and you can check with Carlin on this one, but I have a very vivid imagination. Probably the only thing that my son AJ got from me. And this gets me into trouble more often than not. But in my vivid imagination, sometimes I actually see. I see it in text form. The words that I'm about to say. You know, like how in the comics you got that little bubble and the words are there? I actually see that. No joke. Before I say them. Now, don't you wish it was actually like that? I mean, gives a whole meaning to the phrase, see what I'm saying? I wish it was. Because if it were, I could take a giant eraser and get rid of the words before it gets to the intended target, if they're bad. But unfortunately, can't do that, can we? Once we say something, whether we like it or not, it's after the fact. And we have to deal with the consequences. James says it like this. He says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. Only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on our reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Let me ask you this. How many times have you watched your words start fires? And if you can honestly say that you never have, then I need to sit with you. I need to learn from you. Because mine burn people all the time. So what do we do after the fact, after it's already been said and done? Well, that's where the miracle of repentance kicks into gear. And not just to repent, but to learn from the experience. Then to stick it back into the brain, to be processed by the heart, so that when it falls upon the tongue, it'll come out as a miracle. Because chances are real good that after you've done something like that, God's not going to let you run away. He's not going to take you up into heaven right away. He won't take you and put you 1,000 miles away from this person who you've offended. What he'll do is he'll take you right back into the same situation with that very same person in the very same position. And you get to choose. Did you learn? And this time speak a miracle? Or do you burn another forest? Taking a step back to number two is only speak constructive words. Only speak constructive words. Now, I believe that this one was orated best by one of the greatest philosophers of all time. His name was Thumper. Remember what he said? He said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. The Apostle Paul, he stated it like this. He said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This morning, after we were done setting up, I was talking story with Brother Jaywin, and he looked at the notes and he said, oh, this is going to be one sore one, yeah? And I told him, more for me than for you. Because this one is good, yet it's so painful. Painful for me because it makes me realize why I miss out on the miraculous so often. You see, on any given day, we speak many, many words. Try counting your words, the words that you say. I believe this sermon alone can be 786 words. Something like that. And that's only in half an hour today. Funny, yeah? We got 2 ears and 1 mouth. And we speak like 20 times more than we listen. But that's how many words we speak a day. How many of those words are actually intended to build up people, to benefit others right where they are? Now imagine with me, just imagine what would happen if we could accomplish this. Building up others with just maybe 60% of our words. Where more than half of the things we let out of our mouth would go to build somebody up. You know what would happen if we choose to do that? Even right here at New Hope East Hawaii, this church would double by the end of the year. The kingdom of God right here in East Hawaii would quadruple in 1 year's time. Why? Because everybody would see God working through the everyday miracle of words. You know, I have the pleasure of experiencing that miracle every Sunday morning when I'm greeted by our senior pastor, Pastor Scott. He always greets me with an encouraging word. And it kind of got me thinking. I've known him for just about 20 years now. And I thought, when was the last time that Pastor Scott said anything destructive to me? And I couldn't remember. In fact, I don't think he ever did. But I've heard many stories about him before that. And I know that he has spoken destructive words or words that were not so encouraging to others. Hard for me to believe. So what happened? Well, somewhere along the line, something changed in his life. Something changed in his words. It's because somewhere along the line, he allowed Jesus to start working on his heart. And that's number three. Rectify your heart. Rectify your heart. That word, rectify, what does it mean? It means to make right. And why is it important to make right? Why it's important to make right is that the heart is a great processor. Everything that we do, everything that we say will go to the heart long before any word hits your tongue. Before it hits your tongue, it's conditioned by the heart. If you don't believe me, then don't take my word for it. Hear it from Jesus, where he says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Truth is that if your heart is good, what comes forth will be good. And if your heart is bad, then nothing good can derive from it. Listen to this. The heart that does not know God and is not conditioned by him cannot speak miracles. Let me say that again. The heart that does not know God and is not conditioned by him cannot speak miracles. If no miracles are happening in your life, this could be why. Again, let me impress upon you the importance of getting to know God well. The importance of taking the time out to spend with him. And finally, onto the source. Most people think that everything starts in the heart. But the truth is that the miracle of words actually begins in the mind. So number four is dwell on the positive. Dwell on the positive. How does that old saying go? Garbage in, miracle out. No way. Garbage in, garbage out. In the same manner, what Jesus would say in, miracle out. That's the way it works. Philippians 4:8 puts it this way. It says, "In conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable." To break it down to basics, if you get a good start, chances are that you'll finish well, and vice versa. Let me tell you what encouragement Paul is really trying to give us here. He's saying, set yourself up for success by starting with positive thinking. When I was in college, my two roommates, Brent Busby and Andy Hopoy, two of my best friends throughout college, they knew each other. They actually grew up in Spokane, where we were at, and they knew each other since they were 8 years old or so. Well, one of the things, we all played football together. That's how we became friends. But they also wrestled together. And in Spokane, every year, they would hold this open tournament for wrestlers, big wrestling tournament. And that particular year, my friend Brent, we called him Busby, or Buzz, Buzz decided that he was going to join this tournament. So, first day, first match, Andy and I get to be on the floor with him, and he goes out, and in the first round, first 3 minutes, I felt so bad for him, because Brent got dirty lickings. He didn't get pinned, but this guy just worked him over. The guy was up by like 10 points, first round. So Brent comes off the mat, and Andy goes up to him and says, "Buzz, what are you doing?" And he says, "Man, Andy, this guy is way too good for me, way too good. Should never have done this." And Andy said, "Look at him. Don't you remember him? Sophomore year, you pinned him in 25 seconds. And Brent looked at him and said, "No. that's not the same guy. And Andy said, no, that's the same guy. Look at him good. Now, Busby is a little bit dizzy. Brilliant guy. Amazing athlete. But a little bit on the dizzy side. So Brent looked at him and he says, you know what, Andy? You're right. That is him. Just then the bell goes off. He goes back into the ring. 11 seconds, he pins the guy. And while Buzz is jumping up and down in the middle of the ring celebrating, I turned to Andy and I said, oh, good thing you recognized him, huh? Andy looked at me and said, I haven't seen him ever in my life. True story. Now, it can happen the same way with our words. If we choose to think about the way that others treat us poorly, about all the bad things that have happened to us, about all that is going wrong with this world, then we'll speak in like manner, and we'll get dirty lickings for all that we say. But when we start to dwell on the good, like the hope of the future that we have in Christ, then we start to speak hope. When we dwell on the noble, like how God blesses us with all we need every single day, then we'll start to speak blessing. When we dwell on the lovely, like how the God of all creation chooses to love us no matter what, then we'll begin to speak love. When we dwell on what God is doing in our lives, we'll begin to speak the miraculous. That's what can happen when we get a good starting point. It has the potential to affect our words, even to eternity. So let me encourage us all to start dwelling on the positive. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. See, everything physical that we know of will pass away, and that includes every spectacular miracle we could ever witness. You want to catch one that will last forever? Then take part in the miracle of words. Learn to speak what Jesus would speak. Because you never know when one word will encourage someone to become everything that God meant them to be. You never know when one kind word will deter somebody from suicide. You never know when one loving word will cause someone to give their heart to Jesus Christ and change their eternity. Your words can be a part of what God is doing, a miracle that can happen 100 times over every single day. Every time you open your mouth, it's simply a choice that we get to make. Choice that starts in the mind, that is filtered and inspired by the heart, that is placed on the tongue and bursts into action as a word. Now, here's the bottom line for today. Two questions to take home with you. And they are, when I open my mouth, is it a miracle or a curse? And am I saying what Jesus would say? Amen.